This week's Crossman Conversation is brought to you by Meeks Capital, Frontier Partners, First Horizon Bank, and Crossman Career Builders.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Before I get started, Mike, I got a quick story for you. I just got to tell you this story, and then we'll get going here.
But Your quick stories are always entertaining, man.
I got to tell you this. So years ago, in 1993, I was the captain of the FSU track team. And other people that were on the, like our captain's council, all the captains of sports, include Charlie Ward, who actually is going to be a guest here at some time. Whatever, Charlie. Charlie's going to be up sometime. But when we had these captain council meetings from all the different sports at FSU, and again, this is back in 93, sometimes I would ask the other athletes, I'm like, what's written about your sport? What percentage do you think what's written about your sport, about your team, about you is accurate? And in general, the room said about 50%. Can you imagine that? About 50%. And that would go like the time of the event, who was in the event. I would do interviews with reporters and they would refer to me as a middle distance runner. And I was a sprinter. That's because I'm white, right? Like, so a lot of things like that would come up, but it was across the board. And so then I got into business and I found that kind of the same thing. And it was, you know, really could be frustrating at times. And a couple of years ago, you know, all the news was about the retail apocalypse and I'm in retail real estate. So that was a big deal. And so I decided to do a panel discussion, and I made this marketing piece up, and I put retail apocalypse, and then I stamped over it fake news. And then I sent that out, just kind of a fun promoting way. Oh my gosh, the Orlando Sentinel got so mad at me about it. They were so offended. And I kid you not, they ran a story called The Retail Apocalypse and then didn't cover the event I did, which was an event specifically stating how the retail apocalypse was an inaccurate statement.
Can you
imagine that? So all I want to say for this episode is I hate the media. Oh, we're good. Thank you for coming. No.
Wait a minute. I'm in the media, though.
No,
wait a minute.
No, you're in the media business, Mike. So with that said, we actually have a member of the media as our guest today, Katie Galtney. Are you there, Katie?
I'm here.
Oh, my gosh.
The big bad wolf is in the room.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So and you're a reporter. You're a senior correspondent with the World News Group. So you're a for real deal reporter. And I just bashed the reporters over 30 years. And you're our guest. So welcome, I guess. Welcome.
Well, thanks. You know, I've never heard that before, that someone's been unhappy with the media. So I'm shocked.
Well, Katie, you know, I'm teasing, obviously, a little bit. And I obviously have a great deal of respect for the media. At the same time, it's been up and down in my career. I've had some reporters I've got along well with and some I've had some issues with. But we're in an interesting era. Well, you know, historically, the freedom of the press is so crucial. And yet right now we have a lot of distrust with the media. So do you want to just open, and I hate to open it with something so black out of a cannon, but how do you feel about that as a topic? You're in the media, people trust the media. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I joke about being the big bad wolf, and I kind of bristle at that characterization. And at the same time, it is well earned. We're in a really, like you said, kind of a fascinating time of, I mean, confidence in the media has never been lower. It seems to plummet every year. Gallup does a poll of just America's most trusted institutions. And this year, news media and so it was television news and newspapers were the second and third lowest ranking, just above Congress. So
wow.
that gives you a little insight into how people are feeling. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it has to do with a lot of things. We could go all the way back to the early free thinkers of postmodernism who denied that there's any such thing as objectivity, if we want to get really historical. But I mean, it's easy to understand in this clickbait 24-hour news cycle, you know, social media, hair on fire kind of climate that we find ourselves in, why people don't know who to trust or why they're unhappy with organizations that purport to be trustworthy and clearly have an agenda.
Mike and I had as one of our guests, Judge Belvin Perry, who handled the famous Casey Anthony case. And when we were talking to him, he talked about how when that began, they had to, he had to create a whole rules of engagement with the media. The problem was, is that era was the beginning of blogging and all that stuff. And so they had this cool question of how do you define media, right? And so you're such an interesting point. Like, some people really, really trust a reporter, but sometimes that trust is because the reporter, the media person, is just reaffirming what they've already believed, which is kind of dangerous, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I was just yesterday listening to a podcast by Michael Lewis, and he was talking, his podcast season is focused on experts. And the one I was listening to was talking about how experts have sort of hung on to this cachet of expertise rather than actually trying to deliver facts. So there's a real lack of humility. So you've got all these talking heads who say, you should listen to me, and you can take data and kind of skew it to say what you want to say, because frankly, not all of us are skilled in sussing out probabilities. And so there's a lot of confusion. You mentioned Casey Anthony, you know, that was what, 15 years ago, it's been a while. And since then, I mean, that was, you know, you think of like OJ and the sensationalism, right, and how we were just glued to our TVs and front page of every newspaper. And now, you know, we're kind of in a place where it's not even so much one big sensational story. It's just like drinking from a fire hose. Mm-hmm. And you don't know if the water is from a, you know, natural spring or if it's wastewater. It's just hard to tell. Now we're in this time, you mentioned people wanting to kind of shore up their own biases. And right, you can do that because there used to be one big newspaper in town and you kind of knew their bias. You knew if they were liberal or conservative, but they at least gave the appearance of trying to be objective. They would entertain both sides and interview somebody from the opposition and things like that. But now you've got the marketing side of things where there's 10 outlets, more than 10, you know, and whereas the middle ground used to be what sells when there were only three or four news stations and one big newspaper in town. Now you've got the most niche things being the things that sell. So I think I'm right, and I'm going to listen to the news organization that kind of most closely aligns with my beliefs. But what's lost there is, like I said, just humility. So you don't have the opportunity to say, hey, I may be wrong. Let me hear from someone else. Let me hear a fair representation of someone else's views.
In that humility, and me and Mike and I have talked about this, it's like sometimes it's painful, right? Because sometimes we have to be like, oh, wow, my team lost, or my team put up a bad person, or my team made a mistake. But that's kind of, you know, crucial to a lot of healthy belief systems, as I understand.
Absolutely.
That. Katie, for years, what I did is I watched a news outlet on TV that I really kind of politically matched with. And then online, I looked at the media outlet that was the opposite. And I did that on purpose every day because I was trying to, you know, kind of check and balance myself, right? The problem is they both have gotten so extreme. I don't enjoy either one anymore. It's hard. I was in a hotel the other night and I just turned on a TV and I was flipping channels and there was a major news outlet and it was the opposite of my political belief. It was covering one of my favorite politicians and they were making fun of him like a couple of 14-year-old mean girls would. It was so disturbing to me. And I was just watching like, gosh, this is really mean. It's not even news, you know?
That's right.
But on the other end, even when it's groups that I really agree with, you know, sometimes they're being mean spirited, you know, like even though I'm like, gosh, that's a joke I kind of would laugh at, but I don't really feel good about myself when I reflect on laughing at, because even though I agree with it, am I really helping by being mean spirit if I'm participating in that kind of stuff? Right. So how do we kind of bring that back to center is really what we got to figure out. Right.
You're right. And I wish there were a silver bullet. You know, as I listen to you, I think about the style right now is really snarky and really sarcastic. And like you said, it's just a mean girl's vibe. And that's what's selling. And I think about my 9-year-old daughter, hysterical to me and also makes me feel very old, because the styles that she's drawn to are chokers and, you know, velour baby doll dresses and zigzag parts and clogs and things that were really popular when I was in middle school. And it's funny to see how styles kind of come around. Mm-hmm. And so on the one hand, I mean, we need a change in taste and style. We need less of an appetite for the snark. We need some kind of vocal contingent stepping up and saying, this is not a benefit to anybody right now. In fact, it's a detriment to our culture, to our society, to our institutions. You know, on the other hand, I think discernment really does come into play. It sounds like you're exercising discernment. So, I mean, well, I would say I certainly think that we should be more like, you know, sieves than like funnels. The funnel mm-hmm. lets the water just run right through, and then the sieve takes the good and leaves the bad. But to your point, when there's so much negativity, what do you keep?
Well, you know, it's fascinating because about, I would say over half my guests on this show are politically in a different political party than me, you know, more than half. And I feel like it's awesome. Like, it's like how many times we do a show and Mike and I look at each other and we're like, man, we learned so much, right? We benefited from having a different worldview. And even though it's funny is, even though a lot of them are politically not aligned, they tend to be heavily spiritually aligned, you know? So how's that for some humility component to it, right?
Right.
At the same time, my show would probably be more popular if I was more crazy.
If your hair was on fire all the time and
yeah,
you started screaming
yeah.
and making fun of people.
If I was trying to create, what's the craziest conspiracy theory I could come up with? Well,
right.
We're going to have to take a break, and I want you to think about some crazy conspiracy theories you want to come with. No, we're going to take a break. And what I want to dive in, you know, we sort of, like in this first part, we've defined the problem. In the second part, I want us to really talk through what is the solutions. You know, we're going to mm-hmm. take a quick break and be right back with Katie Gauntley here at the Crossmouth Conversation.
A lifetime of hard work, children laughing in the kitchen, family photos on a restaurant wall, a legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit meekscapital.com.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
And we're back. This is John Crossman at the Crossman Conversation with our guest, Katie Gauntley, who is a senior correspondent with World News Group, a member of the media. And I really respect her, by the way. I want to say that. I respect her. I respect the organization.
Thank you, John.
So,
likewise.
Thank you, Katie. And so, Katie, what we talked about was, you know, we both agree that, you know, we need media. You know, we need a free press. We need it. We need information. And yet we're at a very stressful time about accuracy. And I have deep concerns. I meet people that I respect and care about, and they'll say something to me. I mean, I'm both sides of the aisle. That's kind of crazy. It's like it's wrong. And so I'm sitting here. And so we're agreeing with the problem. Katie, I'm looking at you. What's the solution? What do we do here?
That is the million-dollar question. And I have some ideas. I mean, I think it starts with people within the industry riding the ship. So right now there's sort of this weird, bizarro vibe where editors are fearful of their reporters because we need the reporters. They're the content creators. And so we don't push back too hard. And then you've got the line between marketing and editorial, very blurry. So we've got to reestablish firmer boundaries between what the advertisers are doing and what the reporters are writing, what the editors are asking for. Some of it, you know, that sounds so simple, but it will at this point take a pretty fundamental shift to get back there. I also think, you know, there's some good organizations out there who are doing excellent work, doing what they can within the industry. One of them is one that I'm involved with called Zenger House. It was founded by Marvin and Susan Olasky. Marvin and Susan have both been my editors in the past. Zenger House supports and honors journalists who are doing excellent work. So they're looking for people who are doing street level reporting, who are the boots on the ground, who aren't talking heads, talking about things at a 10,000 foot view. People who, whether they know it or not, are writing biblically objective journalism. What we mean by that is an accurate look at the world as the Bible says the world is. You know, we are fallen, we are sinful, and there is hope and there is redemption in Christ. So these are secular writers, but we call it kind of God-haunted writing. We handed out just our first 8 Zenger prizes, and that's a cash award to encourage journalists who are doing this kind of writing to do more. It's to inspire other journalists to do likewise, and for readers to say, hey, we want more of this, and we like that piece. Let's see more. So, you know, I think that's one small effort that hopefully will grow and continue to support journalists who are doing it right. Another organization is Reforming Journalism Project. That's a network of Christians who care about local news. I think a part of what you're describing, John, is that as local news has declined, and it has, I mean, no one can deny, since 2005, I think 2,200 local newspapers have closed. So you've got news deserts. We can't compete with the targeted advertising by Facebook and Google. So we have people taking all their cues from the national news media. They're making national issues that they have very little control over, making those the hill to die on. And that kind of contributes to this polarization that we're talking about. It contributes to the hair on fire sort of vibe that we see everywhere. It also pushes people, I think, when there's less local news, they're relying more on bloggers, on Instagram influencers and things like that as their source of information, where there really probably aren't checks and balances that the media should have. So that organization is trying to train local journalists, teaching them about how to tell stories and attract a local audience, teaching them about the business side of journalism. So as that Reforming Journalism Project works to answer that problem, I think you will see some of the issues at the national cultural level start to calm down. So I have hope. I mean, I have hope there are people out there doing good work for sure. We talked about discernment. It just takes increasing discernment on the part of believers to sift through what they're hearing, to assess, like, what is the sinfulness in my heart that I am tuning out an entire group of people who disagrees with me. We used to have families hang out with families who disagreed with them, you know, neighbors hanging out with neighbors, and we just have less of that. And that's a whole cultural issue of loneliness and isolation. We used to have foreign enemies and we used to be united to fight against them. But if you don't have foreign enemies, then all the bickering and anger gets leveled at each other. So it's just this. Some things are within our control and some things are outside our control. I mean, certainly the burden does fall a lot to journalists to do. You know, I think of the verse in Ezekiel. It's about it's Ezekiel 33:6, and it says, "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned and the sword comes and takes away any of them. The person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. News organizations have that particular call to live up to that Ezekiel 33 mandate, to be the watchman with a ready trumpet, charged with warning their communities and keeping them informed. And if the watchman doesn't perceive danger as danger, or if the watchman says everyone and everything approaching the gate is something to be feared or hated, then, you know, we'll continue to have a problem. So I think believers can be discerning about what outlets they're taking in, have the humility to listen to the other side. I think a lot of change needs to happen within media institutions. Support organizations like Zenger House and Reforming Journalism Project who are working to address the problem, and then just pray. I mean, we forget, I think, so often about how powerful prayer really is. It might seem like a losing effort to try to turn the tide of polarization at this point, but I believe God can do it, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing all that. That was really powerful. And I got to tell you, when I listen to you, I'm inspired, because it makes me, you know, reminds me there are people out there like yourself and your organizations that are doing great work and are really working hard to make an impact. I'm going to give you a couple of some just my thoughts after listening to you. Is that okay? And you could tell me if I'm getting it.
I would love that, please.
Am I getting it?
Yeah.
So one of the things that jumped out to me is I have a friend, and she has a total opposite political belief as myself. And she put on Facebook, she went to her mother's house, and I know her mother and I have the same political belief. And she was heartbroken because when she got to her mom's house, her mom had a political candidate sign in her front yard. And it was really upsetting to her. And I was thinking to myself, even though I agreed with the mom, take the sign down, mom. like, come on. Like, you know, your daughter's coming over. You know, come on. And I think, you know, what my first point I thought when you were talking was, I wrote down, was challenge yourself, right? Like, even just because something feels good, it doesn't make it true, and it doesn't mean it's healthy, right? Like, just because something just like, oh my gosh, I really agree with that, doesn't necessarily make it right, you know?
That's
and
exactly
so
right.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I think the second thing that jumped out to me that I'm asking myself is it healthy? You know, Mike and I like to banter a little bit about college sports, but years ago, I would get so upset when my team lost that I actually weaned myself off away from college sports for many years. Because I'm like, this is not healthy. I'm not being impacted by homeless people, but I'm impacted by, you know, my football team losing, and I have no influence over that. So, you know, training my brain, and I think that's something else too. If you're watching on the news about some terrible thing happening in Europe, but you're not aware of the needs of children in your local public school system, like, don't worry about what's going on in this other market. That was my third thing I took away from you. Said it's like, focus local. And focus solution. Read your local paper. Know what's good. Read your local newsletter and be dialed in there. Did I get it right?
You nailed it. You said it better than I did in about 2 minutes. So way to go. Good on you.
Well, the last thing I want to tell you is this story is I've always been a fan of the Holocaust Center. They do great work, and locally and nationally. And I think, you know, I'm a conservative Christian, and I really, you know, I believe in praying for Israel, and I have a heart for history and all that's around that. Well, I got a call, and I can't remember this, a year or two ago, but a buddy of mine working at the Holocaust Center over Thanksgiving, right before Thanksgiving, had done an exhibit, and it was this artist went to where George Floyd had been murdered, took pictures of people, and then asked them about it. And so it was pictures, people young and old, black and white, different races, religions, all that kind of stuff. And so the exhibit was just their quotes on how they felt about issues of race. So she did a whole little media thing about it. Well, one media outlet falsely reported that it was a tribute to George Floyd. So it reported it was the Holocaust tribute to George Floyd. Not true. Katie, it got picked up around the world. So the Holocaust Center asked for my help. And so I went there, did a private tour just by myself. I went and replied to every single one of these groups and said, you're wrong. And it was sad because some of them were like, I'm a conservative, you're a liberal. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm a conservative, you're a conservative, you're wrong. You got played, and this is not the story. And it was helpful, though, because I got a lot of, I built even a deep relationship with my friends at the Holocaust Center, because I'm like, hey, guys, we're gonna focus on truth. And so, Katie, thank you for your life, your mission, and your commitment to truth, even when that might make yourself or people that are on your team uncomfortable. And I hope you'll come back. And I hope if you ever listen to this show and you hear me or Mike say something wrong, I hope you'll let us know, okay? I hope you'll keep us accountable. We want to be on this
team. I'll write
the right
you
team.
An angry letter.
you could text
That's
or call.
That's my takeaway from this.
Well, you are doing great work. And
Thank you very much. So I'm grateful for you and your voice. So keep doing what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate it. What we're trying to be here is bridge builders. We're trying to get people to connect in ways maybe they never had before, and hopefully it's healing and helpful. So
you and I share that goal. That's wonderful.
Well, amen. Well, Katie Galdney, thank you. You're a senior correspondent with the World News Group, working with Zinger House and other organizations. Thanks for all the work you're doing, and we're proud to have you a guest. So thank you.
Thank you so much, John.
Awesome. Well, this has been the Crossman Conversation. I'm John Crossman, and as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.